This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. This week and next, we're marking 50 years since the passage of a law that transformed the country, and the West especially. That's the Wilderness Act, which has kept millions of acres in this state wild. Yesterday, we learned that a land battle in Colorado actually set the stage for the act. Today, wilderness cooking, beyond rice and beans, which can get a little tiring after several days of backpacking. It's why Ralph Swain put together the Wilderness Ranger Cookbook. He manages wilderness areas in five states for the U.S. Forest Service. Almost every dish in the book can be whipped up on a one-burner stove. An updated version of the cookbook just came out in honor of the 50th anniversary, and Ralph Swain spoke with CPR's Leslie McClurg.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me the backstory behind this book. How did it come together?
This cookbook is actually the second edition. The original first edition was produced in 1990, and it came about from all of us as backcountry rangers working in wilderness areas would have cook-offs where we would cook our favorite backcountry meal. And somebody said, we need to collect these recipes and make a cookbook.
And what is your favorite in the book?
Oh, there's so many, but let's see. There's my favorite happens to be one that I've made many, many years in backcountry called Burrito Power.
Burrito Power.
Burrito Power. It's a combination of things you can mix together at home before you head to the backcountry and put them in a Ziploc bag and let everything mesh together as you're hiking and backpacking into the wilderness. And then that evening when you're ready to cook, everything has been combined and it's ready to go.
What's the secret ingredient?
Corn in the burrito sauce, as well as then you melt cheese and you put it all into a burrito shell. And the secret is to heat the burrito shell without burning the shell. And you do this in assembly line with other people you're backpacking or rangering with.
I was surprised to see fish chowder is in this book. I'm assuming you're not making fish chowder deep in the wilderness?
No, not really. But some of these recipes are from rangers who are very close to fascinating, fun fishing areas. Mm. Therefore, their fish recipes are the fish chowder is something that, again, you can start at home and then complete in the backcountry.
There's also a bit of an international flair. I saw gado gado goodness is one of the recipes. I lived on gado gado when I was traveling through Indonesia. This is basically vegetables with some peanut sauce over it. I noticed in this recipe it's over pasta. Are there other international favorites?
No, actually you caught it. That's one of the few that are the international, but a lot of our rangers have come up with creative ideas from their travels, their international travels. Many of these rangers have worked in protected areas around the world.
And can you really cook all of these recipes on a single burner stove?
Absolutely. I have not tested every single recipe in the book, but I've worked with every recipe to go over, with every recipe submitter to go over their recipes. And when we asked for recipes, we had a criteria, if you will, of what would be allowed. Number one, it had to be the real deal, something you cook in the backcountry as a ranger that is your favorite. It had to be cooked over a one-burner stove, had to be nutritional, and it had to clean up quickly. We're in grizz country, bear country, places where you can't have smells lingering. So these are meals that are tried and true. They're great in the backcountry over one burner stove, and they clean up easy.
Some of these recipes are obviously going to take longer than others, but on average, about how much time do you allot after you get to camp in the evenings? How much time do you take to or set aside to make food?
You know, to reduce the amount of fuel that you use in the backcountry, you really want to keep it under 5 minutes. But today we're very lucky. There's a lot of the new stoves on the market that can boil water very quickly, like a jet boiler stove. And therefore, if you're doing a pasta or something that typically would take 5 to 10 minutes to get your pasta ready, you can now boil the water and have your pasta ready in half that time. So everything we do, fuel matters to us on a 10-day backcountry tour. So if you keep it under 5 minutes, that's the best.
I also noticed that yogurt is in a few recipes. Is dairy a thing that, I mean, I don't think that probably travels well in the backcountry, but maybe I'm wrong.
That's a great question. Obviously, in a backcountry, you got to plan ahead and prepare. Whether you're bringing sour cream, yogurt, or any dairy products, you do have to be careful. Yogurt can actually last a day or two and even stretched into a third day if you keep your yogurt in the shade and keep it cool. Sometimes our rangers will go down by the creek and actually dam up a small little area with small rocks on the shoreline of a creek or a small pond. And that way you can set it up where you can keep your dairy products fresh. As long as they're out of the sun, you can get 2 or 3 days.
That's one of my favorites is yogurt and granola, so I assume now that's something I can have in the backcountry. What about you? What's a favorite breakfast?
Yeah, the breakfasts are fun because you can do anything from your burrito omelet-type meal to there's really some fun ones that use grape nuts and powdered milk, and then you start adding some different ingredients into it. So you can have very easy, quick breakfasts that are just really fun and nutritional.
And if you're trying to get on the trail quickly, when you say quick, how long are you kind of estimating time-wise to make breakfast?
We're up at sunrise and we work all day until sunset, so you don't want to be spending a lot of time with your breakfast. So most of our breakfasts are 2 to 3 minutes at the most, maybe 5 minutes for a more elaborate omelet or something like that.
And what are you snacking on during midday or during the day as you're out on the hiking trail?
In fact, that's in the cookbook as well. There's some GORP or different snack recipes that are just really nutritional and very tasty and great GORP as you're hiking along.
And GORP is a mix of nuts and seeds, usually raisins. I love chocolate in my GORP, but what about this time of year since it's kind of hot? What do you recommend for a sweet tooth?
Yeah, and we actually have some like that. But even though it's hot, if you plan ahead and prepare, you can keep your chocolate from melting if you keep it well protected and in the shade. But some of these, especially the GORP recipe, is a mixture with peanut butter. So you want the chocolate to melt.
So it becomes a goo, GORP.
Yeah, and then you put it with the nuts and the other ingredients in the GORP, and it makes for a wonderful snack.
What about pig's bleep chili on page 50? I can't say this middle word on the radio. Did you have any trouble publishing this title, given that you work for a government agency?
I actually did, and thanks for doing the bleep there, because this one was sensitive. I'm with the U.S. Forest Service, and all of the recipes in this cookbook and everything that you see here was in fact approved by all 4 federal land agencies at the highest level.
Wow.
And so our chief in the Forest Service, when he first heard about the title you're offering there, was concerned. He said, no, that's the recipe and that's what works. So yes, I received approval to use that.
And is it good?
Oh, it's very good. There's several recipes in the cookbook that use pork. And again, that is something that if you take care and keep it fresh and keep it shaded, you can actually have pork last 2 days in the backcountry.
Speaking of pork, have you tried the divine swine on page 45?
That's one of my favorites. There's so many different spices that Noelle, the ranger who created that recipe, she just mixed this fantastic taste together with pork, and it's something you can make in the backcountry. And
what are some of your favorite spices or maybe condiments that you take into the backcountry?
Well, I'm a fan of garlic, so you can never go wrong in the backcountry with garlic, with curry, with ginger, and then good old picante sauce.
Good old picante sauce.
There's so many things you can, if you've been hiking all day and you cook a meal with picante sauce, everybody will love it.
And usually that's in a glass jar. I mean, do you carry glass in your backpack?
No, we don't. In fact, all of these recipes follow the leave no trace. We prepackage or repackage everything. No glass comes into the backcountry. So you would take your picante sauce and you can double bag it in a Ziploc bag and make sure that there's no spillage. But no, we never bring glass or cans into the backcountry.
There's also one of my favorites, Cowboy Mac. This is mac and cheese with some surprising additions.
Yeah, in the Cowboy Mac, it has a combination of using peppers, both green and red peppers, with zucchini and squash. And then it's mixed with pasta and black beans.
We'll continue the conversation about cooking in the backcountry with Ralph Swain after a break. Coming up, tips for what to bring when the weather is hot and how to make wilderness ice cream when it's snowing. Swain is speaking with CPR's Leslie McClurg. This is Colorado Matters. It's Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Let's get back to our conversation with Ralph Swain of the U.S. Forest Service. He's speaking with CPR's Leslie McClurg about his Wilderness Ranger Cookbook. The second edition was just released for the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act.
Ralph, I noticed several of the recipes have different kinds of veggies, and I think of veggies as being pretty heavy. Do you have recommendations for veggies or produce that are weather well in the backcountry and aren't too heavy?
They are actually heavy. So what we do, again, back to plan ahead and prepare, is we usually chop a lot of our veggies, our onions, our garlic. We do a lot of chopping and preparing before we go to the backcountry. But one place we don't skimp is on fresh vegetables. We really do bring in, our rangers are back there for sometimes 10 days at a time. So your first few meals, that first two or three nights in, you want fresh vegetables.
And I mentioned that the weather, you know, some things do better in hotter weather. It's really hot these last few weeks. What would you recommend? What recipes would do well out there right now?
So you're going to have to watch your meat products. They're probably not going to last you with the temperatures we've been having more than one or two nights. So again, this is where we get creative and use the waterways as much as possible. If you can get your bag of ingredients down by the creek and protect it to where it does have shading and maybe some cooling of the water if you can protect your food items, that's a good way to make them last. But if in really hot weather, you just know to use your perishables first.
And in cold weather, I noticed there's an ice cream in this, right?
In this cookbook.
What is in this ice cream?
Yeah, and you can go that way too. You can do all kinds of creative things with snow and snowbanks. So in this particular case, it's using snow and making a backcountry ice cream.
Got it. And do you have a favorite drink?
One of my favorites is from Elizabeth, a backcountry ranger out of Utah, who combines coffee with chai for a morning drink, and it's very tasteful.
We talked about preparing is an important part of this process. Anything that you see new hikers do that you just sort of your jaw drops when they pull it out in the evening that they should not do? Any advice for the new hikers?
Well, I still see people coming in with cans of ingredients or bottled ingredients. But I'm also very optimistic. I'm seeing more and more backcountry users dehydrate. They're coming in prepared to cook really good meals. And another little trend that's going on in the backcountry is people are using packaged dehydrated food like you could buy at REI or other backpacking stores, but they're spicing it up with chopped onions and vegetables and other ways to make the dehydrated meal tastier.
Do you ever take dehydrated food into the backcountry?
I do, but I don't like it.
That face does not tell me that you like it at all.
No, the way a lot of our rangers will do it is you come on your last of your tour and you don't want to have a lot of dirty dishes or stuff. You might have your last meal in the backcountry as a dehydrated meal. But again, we spice it up with chopped onions or something that helps the taste.
What about for energy? I mean, are there certain dishes that are going to be better for a longer day if you know you have a long day ahead of you?
It's a great question. As rangers in the backcountry, we burn calories. So we're high carbo type meals and we're also high protein. And whenever you can get that combination of a good meal that has protein, whether it's that meat dish for the first night or a good pasta meal with sauce, you want to keep your calories up because you're burning.
So it shouldn't be diet time.
No, it's not. Because we're working all day. We're working on trails. We're doing different research projects. You're really out there from sunrise till sunset. So when we finally come back to camp and have a chance to make a meal, we want it to be special.
Speaking of a day in the life of a wilderness ranger, there's an essay that you wrote in the middle of the book that talks about a day in the life. Kind of walk us through. You said you wake up at sunrise, you're down at sunset. What happens in the middle there?
It's a wonderful life being a backcountry ranger, a wilderness ranger, and it's not your 9-to-5 job. You cook your meal and then you pack your pack to hit the trail, and your job that day could be anything from cleaning water bars, doing trail maintenance on the trail.
Cleaning water bars?
Yes.
What is that?
So whenever you're hiking in the backcountry and you see those small dips in the trail where it's trying to run water off the tread of the trail, those water bars are very important to stop erosion. So we do trail maintenance, We do research plots where we might be working on a scientific project related to wildlife or wild plants, threatened endangered plants.
Is it lonely?
It can be, but one thing about a ranger is once you connect to wild lands, you're never alone. There's always the stars above you and the sounds around you, and you become very familiar with your backcountry. And actually, the toughest thing is to get a ranger to come in after their tour in the backcountry. They want to stay.
There's also a list I noticed highlighting how long a person's trash will stick around in the forest. What are some of the worst items that a hiker can leave behind?
Some of the worst are things like aluminum, which can take 200 to 400 years to biodegrade.
Wow, 200. And I noticed a tin can is 80 to 100 years. And then even a banana peel is surprising at 5 weeks. So hucking that peel aside is not the best thing to keep our forest looking good, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, we often see people who will throw an apple core or banana peel in the backcountry. And we try to explain to them that that banana peel was not there before they came here. And that's not normally what an animal or a small critter in the backcountry would eat. So that should be packed in and packed out.
Now you're managing wilderness areas in 5 different states. How has your job changed? What does that look like now?
I oversee 46 wilderness areas in the 5 states of the Central Rockies. And what I'm seeing that's changing in the trends that are coming is more and more people, they're still backpacking and using the backcountry, and our wilderness areas are very popular. But I'm seeing more and more base camping. Well, people will hike in, set up a base camp, and then do day hikes out to different areas to see a mountaintop or a glacier lake basin. But base camping has become quite popular, as well as I'm starting to notice more families coming into the backcountry, experiencing and showing the wilderness and the remote areas as a family, bringing the kids along. That means mom and dad carrying more of the load, but at least the kids are coming and enjoying it.
Well, when you're not in the office, what is your favorite backcountry spot in Colorado?
Oh, very good question. I just came out of a wilderness on my own time, and I had a chance to take my daughter to a wilderness area called the Indian Peaks Wilderness, and this is on the west side out of Granby, Colorado. And the reason I took her there is I built the trail 25 years ago that she hiked on. And it was interesting to hear a 14-year-old daughter said, "What were you thinking?" She felt it was too steep, and how could I ever do that to her? So it was fun to re-hike a trail that I built as a young ranger.
Thank you very much for joining me, Ralph.
Thank you for having me, Leslie.
Ralph Swain is the Forest Service's Regional Wilderness Program Manager for the Central Rockies. He's based out of Golden. Head to cprnews.org for recipes, including Boy Scout ice cream.